gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is. Do the Schadenfreude dance with me, won't you, everybody? It's the Schadenfreude shutdown dance. Woo! Oh, wow, that's a bad poll for the Republicans. Yikes! You think that's anything to do with them suddenly seeming so cooperative?
Say it again. Schadenfreude.
Thanks.
Or Schadenfreude.
Yeah, you got to put the extra
Schadenfreude. It's like I can't say Le Miserable.
Bleu.
Bleu. Okay.
But you can say Guy Lafleur.
Guy Lafleur, I can say.
Because that was drilled into your head when you were
by
a teenager.
My brother.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So what the, I don't, okay, let's
They're
start.
Not talking.
Let's go
Pretty
ahead.
Much nobody's talking.
Yeah. Boner didn't have a word to say yesterday,
yeah.
Huh? He's been so conversational. He's been all about the conversation.
Well, I have a conversation. You got a conversation about how he's going
to like a carrot walking back to his office,
yeah.
Like in dress for Halloween.
Like one of those baby carrots.
A long, silent carrot.
One of those baby carrots.
Long, drunk,
the orange
silent.
Mile.
Oh, dear. The Republicans' worst poll yet. The latest NBC Wall Street Journal poll, a disaster for the GOP. The high lines by a 22-point margin. The public thinks the Republican Party is more to blame for the shutdown than President Obama.
Yeah.
A wider margin blamed the GOP than the party received during the poll during the last shutdown in 95-96. Oh, like Gallup, this poll shows the Republican Party at record levels of unpopularity. Only 24 people have a favorable, 24%. Yeah. Actually, it probably is more like 24 people.
Probably.
This may have been incorrect. 24 people have a favorable opinion of the GOP. And that's just the Tea Party caucus.
Right.
Only 21% have a favorable opinion of the Tea Party. Both are all-time lows in the history of the poll.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
I read yesterday that the Republicans kind of went into this so confidently because they counted on America blaming Washington as a whole for the shutdown.
Yeah.
They didn't count on people blaming the Republicans.
You know when I knew there was going to be a turning point before even the news of last night? I was listening to our right-wing sister station over there at John and Ken,
right. Who
I love, actually, the Afternoon Drive show. They're considered right-wing, but, I mean, they're not really. I mean, they're not really
right.
It's the Rush station.
Right.
But can I say, I thought that was one of the best interviews I ever heard. They were interviewing the head of the Heritage Foundation.
Uh-huh.
And John was saying, I'm not a fan of Obamacare, but what the hell are you guys doing? He said, but you don't get to go relitigate a law. It was all, it could have been an interview we did. I mean, it was just, and he was just being, you know, he wasn't even being combative with the guy. He was just like, but I don't get it. You lost. You don't get to do it this way. This isn't the way you get to do it. You get to do it through... You know, the Supreme Court and the elections and, like, what the hell are you doing? The American people don't get what you're doing. Like, one thing is not tied to the other. And I was like, oh, see, this is.
Meanwhile.
I'm like, when that interview could have happened on either of these stations, then it's like, and then I heard about the poll later.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the boner's getting his paycheck, but lots of people around the country are not.
Yeah, and then when the news broke last night that the president had rejected the deal, I mean, most of the comments I heard were good. He finally stood up to the bullies. I guess we're not exactly sure what's happening now because people are sort of walking it back a little and saying, well, they're still talking. But, you know, remember we were on the air yesterday when they gave that smug news conference, Boner and Cantor.
Yeah.
They're still like,
you just
hey,
need
the
to,
president's not your boy, okay?
You need to shut up and do what we say.
I mean, it was hilarious, and they still think they're in charge. Like, all right, well, we'll raise the debt ceiling, but we're not
going to stop the shutdown.
Until the president is ready
to negotiate.
They can start acting like that when they start winning elections.
Yeah.
And
the president could not have been clearer and firmer through this whole thing. No, these things are not negotiable. This is not how we govern. You know, he is, I mean, to try to say the president is not compromised, I mean, he's compromised on absolutely everything. So but you can't. You cannot create the precedent that you hold, you know, the government of the United States hostage like this. And so, I love it because if you notice the demands, they're keep like moonwalking.
Yeah.
All right, well, not that. I mean, this is like a massive, epic fail on John Boner's part. Okay, how about this? All right, Mr. President, but now I'm serious and here's what we want. All right, never mind. I mean,
hilarious. Yeah, I'd be interested to see polling numbers to see if he'd even get reelected in his district, let alone reelected as Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
Or as, yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. They
What will he do if he doesn't get his job?
What will he do with all that free time?
Yeah.
And does it have a T in it? As in tavern?
Does he even have a skill besides
being orange?
Or
working
yeah.
in the tavern, where as we heard that he
sure.
did.
Sure, all right.
I don't know what his job was in the tavern. Do we know?
I think he swept floors, he
said.
Oh,
did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. Well, at least he knows how to do it. So there you go. That's the, what does he
want
to do anything?
Tavern! Is that tavern still there? Can he...
And then Newt Gingrich will be happy, too, because it will be a person of color that has a janitor job.
Oh, you see. He's a color.
He said a person of color.
A certain color, yes.
Newt Gingrich didn't stipulate what kind of color. He would like to help more of those people.
Orange Americans are being discriminated
right.
against.
Sure. Get jobs.
Yes. It's John Boehner and Snooki.
Yeah.
All right. If you've just tuned in, there was no agreement reached after a meeting between top House Republicans and President Obama at the White House about a plan to raise the federal debt ceiling or fund the government, but both parties spoke positively about the discussion and said it. Yeah, that was just weird. After their blustery little press conference earlier in the day, this poll comes out. The president essentially rejects the latest hostage demand. Because they're basically saying, okay, we'll raise the debt ceiling, but we're still going to keep the shutdown as a hostage.
Mm-hmm.
Until you... Yeah. Anyway, Kara Cantor, I love that. It was clarifying to see, to both sides, to see where we are.
Very clarifying.
And it turns out we are in the... how awkward. Clarifying. Oh. I bet it was. Bet it was, bitch face.
God.
The takeaway.
Oh, my alligator shoes are soiled.
He seems like the kind of person that would say the takeaway. Oh, the takeaway here. At the end of the day.
Oh,
God. As they say in Montauk.
Best.
So the takeaway from the meeting was our teams are going to be talking further tonight. We'll have more discussion. Oh, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
We'll have more discussions on how the president's going to capitulate.
Cantor added the talks were very useful, but would not elaborate.
Oh.
It was useful in the sense that I was finally able to get the president's foot out of my ass. Don't film me walking away. I walk funny now. Speaker John Boehner, as I mentioned, was silent when he entered the Capitol before disappearing into his office.
Silent but deadly. Silent
Slam.
But orange.
Always in the thought bubble, just his best friends. Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, just different thought bubbles. Long, silent march back to contemplate his own disastrous failure. All right, the president yesterday.
Extend the debt ceiling. If they can't do it for a long time, do it for the period of time in which these negotiations are taking place.
Yeah, this is such a ridiculous way to govern for them. It's just, it's like, okay, we're going to extend it long enough so we have to go through all this again. I mean, I think they just keep thinking the outcome will change, right? That, okay, in 6 weeks we're going to do this all over again and pretend that this is some
pretend
sort of...
Pretend none of this ever happened.
What's the thing, Paul Rank? Oh, a forcing mechanism.
Yeah.
Threatening to default again. Republican leaders said Thursday they will offer a temporary increase in the... I mean, you know what this is all about?
What?
This is not about America or what's best for anybody. It's about them saving face.
Mm-hmm.
About
mm-hmm.
them trying to tell their stupid, crazy base that they got something out of this. That, oh, we got the president to, cave on this or this. And it's just... Anyway, in exchange for negotiations with President Obama on the longer-term pressing problems... By the way, the president's already agreed over and over and over again to have those conversations and negotiations. He fully expects to have them.
Mm-hmm.
But, as he said it repeatedly, not with a gun to his head. Anyway, but they stopped short of agreeing to end the show. I mean, can you imagine being behind closed doors when they come up with this idea?
Well, wait a minute. Here's an idea. All right, so we raise the debt ceiling.
I'm just spitballing here.
Because, the Koch brothers, they've pulled the plug on that. They're like, hey, okay, you know what? I don't know. We were just around, okay? Raise the debt ceiling, because that's our money. But, right, so then they're like, who came up with that idea? What a bunch of stumble bums. They're like, oh, all right, I got an idea. Wait a minute. Let's keep the government shut down. Blah, 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 blah. I think it was Shemp. I think Shemp just chimed in from the back of the room.
Sure.
See the Koch brothers taking Boehner out to the desert with a shovel. Casino.
I think he's going to end up in the wood chipper.
No. He'd be buried alive.
Yeah. There you go. Just up to his orange neck.
Yeah.
He described the offer to be presented to Obama at the White House meeting with House Republicans on Thursday afternoon as a good faith effort on our part to move halfway to what he's demanded in order to have these conversations begin. You're not in any negotiating position to move halfway to... Like, what? They just don't get it. John McCain at least gets it.
You know, he does.
He yesterday blamed the Tea Party,
yeah.
And he's, you know, I mean...
Well, he's been in Congress long enough to know that this is... What Ted Cruz and his ilk are proposing just absolutely won't work.
Oh, they're going to make a little hole right next to Boner for Cruz in the desert, I think. They'll be able to talk to each other.
Bury him up
there's
to
a lot of holes in the desert.
They'll be like Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn at the end of Death Becomes Her, just talking to each other. Just heads talking to each other. Blaming each other until the end of time.
Or buried up to his neck like Ted Danson in Creepshow at low tide. And when the tide comes in, it slowly drowns him.
One of your fans! Just blaming each other back and forth. Just for eons. John McCain blamed Tea Party Republicans for the government shutdown on CNN. He said, we started this on a fool's errand, convincing so many millions of Americans and our supporters that we could defund Obamacare. That obviously wouldn't happen until we had 67 Republican senators to override a presidential veto. Which was part of this interview. He's like, what? You can't do it. He goes, you can't expect. He's not going to. Why would he defund his signature legislation? Why would he do that? He won the election. I mean, it was hilarious. Hilarious. On a right-wing station. Love it, love it, love it. Asked about the shutdown, Boner said, that's a conversation we're going to have with the president today. How'd that go for you? How'd that go for you, Carrot? The government shutdown would not end until Obama agreed to structural reforms to the tax code and federal health programs. Right.
Computer says no.
Yeah, president says no. The Senate, by the
way... Who does he think he is?
Currently back on track to vote Saturday on a Democratic proposal for a clean debt limit hike that might be moved up to today. I think it depends on what happens with all this.
Yeah.
But that's what might happen. It might just end up back in the Senate because Boner has screwed things up so epically. Nicely done.
Well played, sir.
Well played, sir. Enjoy your hole in the desert.
Right. Get that, Newsbusters?
I meant that politically. Speaking.
Sure.
Newsbusters. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa, that was cool!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Tina Dupuy coming up on the big show. I am, by the way,
sexy liberal Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. And sexy liberal John Fugelsang in hour number three, live in studio.
That's right.
Right here in our Los Angeles studio. The sexy liberal announcement, by the way, that everybody in the chat room is waiting for is we have to wait till next week.
Yeah.
We have had a little box office snafu. Next week will be the big sexy liberal announcement. Just everybody shoot your guns up. Everybody's excited. I'm excited. Just geek out.
Gentle down.
Yeah. Box office is not ready today, so we got to wait till next week and we will, and then, because they tend to explode.
They do.
When we announce.
And
so we're having a little a situation. All right, Julie tweets, by the time the GOP is done, we're going to need as many words for idiot as Eskimos have for snow. That's what the polling says in the Flavin. The president's carny yesterday.
The president is happy that cooler heads at least seem to be prevailing in the House, that there at least seems to be a recognition that default is not an option.
Yeah, that you're toast. He said it would be far better for the economy if we stop this episodic brinkmanship and mothball the nuclear weapon here, which is the threat of default for a longer duration. But it is certainly at least an encouraging sign that they are not listening to the debt limit default deniers. If Republicans now recognize the default cannot be permitted, why keep the nuclear weapon in your back pocket? And that is true. I mean, it literally is just about them going, oh, well, we got something. We only, you know, raised the debt limit for 6 weeks. I mean... And didn't we learn last time, you maroons, that you can't wait till we already got downgraded the last time because we took this too far. You don't even have to do it to have it. It's already affecting financial markets.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
Thank you. Ryan in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
So here's what I think the Democrats should do. I've seen enough episodes of Pawn Stars and American Pickers to know how to negotiate. You start high, you basically say, get rid of the debt ceiling altogether and reopen the government and go from there. And basically, if they don't do anything like that, don't bail them out. Don't vote on anything that they make them do it themselves so that they own it. If they're gonna do this stuff,
yeah.
Make them own it. Because then when everything goes to crap, if it doesn't work, then I mean it's already great that people are seeing the blame where it should be due. But now they'll really be able to blame them because they own the situation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think maybe they're right now. We don't even know what they're doing. Maybe they're playing strip poker, and we'll know when John Boehner comes out just in his tidy whiteies. Things have not gone, and then he'll have to use those to wave on the flag to surrender. He'll have to use those for a.
We already saw him in his tidy whities in that SNL parody. Oh God!
Everything went pretty well. I got to keep most of my clothes. Oh, I got to give up my underwear too. Okay.
Let's go to Deb in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hey there, love.
Hello.
It's been a while since I was able to call. Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
So glad that you're still there because I was gone for 2 months.
Oh,
anyway,
thank God.
I couldn't afford Sirius, and then I was able to pull it together finally.
Oh, good.
Anyway,
yay! SiriusXM progress. Hooray.
Exactly. I still love you, though. So anyway,
right,
I'm calling about I think that the Democrats really need to just pull the page right out of the Republican playbook and go ahead and suggest in these so-called negotiations, just go ahead and start suggesting things that are proper for us to feel, such as go ahead and raise the, you know, do the California thing. Raise the minimum wage incrementally. You know, do, you know, $10 now, $15 in a few years. Go ahead and do that. Suggest this. We need to expand Medicare. What are we talking about? Raise the cap on the payroll withholdings. You know, with the farm bill, let's eliminate the corporate welfare. They get these tax credits that are just subsidized by the millions, people like, Monsanto. And then let's go ahead and expand SNAP. They've cut the budget on SNAP. Go ahead and put the money back in. This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
What the Democrats, you know, we got a little bit angry because we just kind of laid there for a while. Well, now we've been beaten to a pulp, and now we're going to come back. Look at what the polls are saying. Anyway, I love you too.
All right. Yeah, David in Texas says, would they extinguish the sun to disprove global warming and or the effectiveness of solar energy?
Probably.
Yes. Well, they would, just to make a point.
They told you it doesn't work.
Charles in Miami, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Charles.
Hi, how you doing, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
I might not be in a good mood or as chipper as your last caller right there because I'm really pissed off about what these Republicans, these conservatives, and Fox News are doing. You know, and it starts off with them shutting down the government, and now we're finding out that military families, they can't receive their death benefits. And they're blaming it on Obama. They're trying to say that his administration, the people in the White House knew about it. Well, let's not forget, they're the ones who shut this government down. And basically, this is what they've been begging for. This is actually, by shutting down the government, this is actually sequestration on steroids. And they're hurting so many people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I
we not only need to reopen the government, we need to roll back those sequestration cuts. I mean, that's what people forget about because it's gotten so exponentially worse.
Yeah.
We got a lot to do. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I think you've had too much sugar cereal.
I think I haven't had enough!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, I saw this story and I thought this is exactly what House Republicans remind me of. Feral pig pinches multiple six-packs of beer and runs riot at a campsite.
Oh.
They are. They're like drunken feral pigs at this point. Or they will be later today, the Tea Party.
Especially John Boehner.
Uh-huh. A booze-stealing feral pig that is wreaking havoc in Pilbara. I'm not sure where that is. Has prompted a reminder for travelers at campsites and rest stops to ensure that their food and alcohol is secured. I would do that, everybody. I would secure your food and alcohol today from Tea Party Republicans.
If you're camping anywhere near D.C.
They're going to be just nasty, drunken, feral pigs when they come out of this meeting.
I've seen that on the road lately. Just people just going nuts, running red lights, almost running over some girls in a crosswalk. I'm sure it's Republicans who are just... What happened?
Right. Drunken feral pigs.
What the?
18 beers. A feral pig on 18 beers. Think about it.
I've become a feral pig on 18 beers.
I bet. Jack Lew, Treasury Secretary.
If Congress fails to meet its responsibility, it could deeply damage financial markets, the ongoing economic recovery, and the jobs and savings of millions of Americans.
And the jobs of millions of Americans. But Obama has to yield to our will.
Right.
Why won't he negotiate?
Yes. Why won't he yield to the agenda that just lost in the election?
Why won't he see reason?
Vito in Chicago. Hi, Vito.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
How'd the Bears do? How'd the Bears do last night?
You know what? I have no idea.
Okay. All right.
I didn't even know the Hawks won until the game was over. Here's what I thought. I thought that the Republicans went into this so sort of blindly because they really thought the president was going to cave. They were going to yell and he was going to cave. And he did have a tendency in the past to kind of give away his cards early in the negotiation. And maybe, you know, he wasn't going to defund Obamacare, but maybe he'd give something away really easily. And now he's not, and they're completely dumbfounded.
Yep.
So I agree with one of your previous callers who said he's got to go in strong. He's got to go in and ask for all the things we know he should ask for, and like the minimum wage and Medicare and other things, and just keep being tough.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the Bears, did you see Mike Ditka says he should have run against Obama for the Senate in 2004 and he would have won? Right.
Computer says
and then I'd be the president, and then there would be football 24/7.
Would he be part of that Chicago thug culture?
Apparently. Mm-hmm. Aren't they looking into head injuries from football?
Stuck in my aorta.
Sure. Okay. Let's go to Danny in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Danny.
Hey, Stephanie. I just had a question I hope you guys could answer. Everyone knows this shutdown is a bad thing, and I was hoping you could tell me that there's something they're doing so they can't do this again, you know, because this seems like a loophole to me, and I'm hoping there's
something that will show them they can't do this again, and that is the Republicans' worst poll ever. That's that one, because it literally is worse than the last. Worse than the last time, the last shutdown. And that, I thought was impossible. What's the matter?
The guy's
Yay!
It is funny. In case you just tuned in.
It is too late.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. A disaster. Disaster for the Republicans by 22-point margin. America blames the Republican Party for the shutdown. That was pretty bad results after the last time they did it with Newton. Remember the picture of Newton in the diaper?
Yeah.
Which, oof, just that alone. it's a that you know what that turned out to be? That turned out to be a forcing mechanism, didn't it, Paul Ryan? Oh, goodness. Michelle in Virginia. Hi, Michelle. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I'm a first-time caller, so I'm a little bit nervous, but I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm a furloughed government worker. Normally, I'd be in the office right now, but I'm home watching you guys, so... Oh. I was wondering if Jim could do that mosquito zap because of Ted Cruz, because I think we're actually seeing in the polls that that's what the American people are thinking right now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just great.
Thank you. The American people just bug zap Ted Cruz. Exactly. We haven't heard much about him. We haven't heard from him.
Apparently he was on Crossfire yesterday, and he got his ass handed to him.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did. By Van Jones.
That's great.
Why do I get the feeling that just in the hallways of Congress, that people just randomly probably smack him in the back of the head. Just probably, idiot. No, I mean, like other Republicans just probably walk by and...
Green eggs and ham? Really?
One of those portable bug zappers, you know, that look like a fly swatter, but it has the bug zapper in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, just...
I pictured him a lot yesterday, just being like, ow, quit it.
Ow, stop it.
That's not my fault.
Stop it. Quit it. No, don't give me a swirly. Not a swirly.
Oh.
Okay, Senator...
I don't have a toilet sound effect in there.
No.
Dagnabbit.
Senator, probably they've saran wrapped the toilet seat when they see him heading in. Just different...
Not a purple Nurple. Not that purple Nurple.
Aren't you getting your purple Nurple tonight?
Yes, I'm going to be on Jane Velez Mitchell on CNN Headline News and also on The Ed Show on MSNBC today because I am a media hoa.
Ed is not one to get purple Nurples.
No. No. Senator Harry Reid.
When they send us something, we'll look at it as clearly and as closely as we can.
Yes, and reportedly they did and said...
Computer says no.
Nah, not so much. Senator Harry Reid again. Yes.
This whole thing is for show. This whole government shutdown is for show.
Oh, by the way, I was not exaggerating much when I was talking about smacking, because there is shoving going on. That's how you know you're losing a political debate, when the shoving begins. GOP congressman shoves Cameron for asking a question about ending the showdown.
Wow.
Oh, dear. Someone just saw the polls and is a little tetchy. He's ours. Representative Gary Miller, a Republican in California.
Oh, great.
Yes, he didn't want to answer a question about whether he would support a clean funding bill to end the government shutdown, so he just pushed the person asking.
That's the Miller, way to get things done.
Miller initially ignores the question, but as he gets closer, he reaches out and pushes back the camera lens along with the man behind it, saying only, thank you. That's nice.
Hmm.
As Miller puts his hand over the lens, causing the scene to go dark, a voice presumably from the cameraman is still heard saying, Congressman? Congressman, perhaps you're not aware this is obviously on camera.
Shut up.
No, you shut up.
You shut up.
No shopping.
Stupid.
Oh, heavens. This is Representative Sean Duffy, Republican of Wisconsin.
Yes, former real world star.
Right.
Yes.
This is what it's come to. They really. When you think it's like a reality show, it is. It's exactly like a reality show starring former reality stars. He was on Fox and Friends yesterday morning accusing the quote-unquote liberal media of allowing the Obama administration to sidestep tough questions on the Affordable Care Act and the government shutdown. Speaking of the president, he said he doesn't want to be asked the hard questions like, why don't you join Obamacare? Why is it your wife at the computer signing up like other families and other...
They already have health care.
Because they have health care through their employer,
the American people. Right. The government that they're trying to shut down.
Yeah, that's not what the exchanges are made for.
Your wife at the computer signing up like their families and other Americans trying to get onto the website because they don't have a good internet. Yeah, there is a good answer for that. You're an idiot. That's the dumbest question ever.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, if you look at him, it looked like he got hit with a herp derp stick.
Yeah.
Sean Duffy.
Right. He said, I don't think that'll last very long, though. You're starting to see the liberal media crack.
No.
Liberal media is smarter than
that. Oh, and then he cited
Wolf
Blitzer saying something critical or whatever that sounded critical of Obamacare. No, Wolf Blitzer actually had enough yesterday. We played that soundbite. The guy that said single digits of people have signed up for
single
Obamacare.
Single digits. What do you mean by single digits?
You mean less than 10? Where? Huh?
And then the congressman said...
I read it in Forbes.
Yeah. The congressman condescendingly said, yes, that would be less than 10.
Yeah, Wolf.
Guy. Stupid.
Dummy.
I read it in Snorb's magazine.
You could see the both sides of the facade began to crumble. Are you honestly on to what? Saying
are you high
less
right
than
now?
10 people have signed up for Obamacare? I don't, for once in my life, I cannot leave it there. Okay, Curtis in Las Vegas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, how you doing? I was telling your screener, I'm a moderate Republican, and I see the handwriting on the wall. I told your screener, I'm not one of those Republicans that whatever Obama does, I'm against it. That's not me. I'm a moderate Republican, and I just wanted to say these guys, they I have no party to go to. I really don't.
Come to our party.
Well.
Come to the light. Come all the way to the light.
I don't have a problem with the Democrats. By being a moderate Republican, I think I'm a little more fiscally
you're kind of like a unicorn. You're like a unicorn these days.
Yeah, but when it comes to social issues, you know, like I said, if you're gay, if you want to have an abortion, stuff like that, I really don't care about that. As long as it doesn't affect me, I don't care.
And I think a lot of people are like you. You're right. Conservative and socially liberal.
Well, yeah, and normally we've had the title as a moderate Republican, but
you know what that's called today? A Democrat.
Yeah. Because the fringe of the Republican Party has shoved the party so far to the right that you pretty much are considered a Democrat now.
Yeah. Like I just told you guys, there's some things I agree with Obama on. There's some things I don't. The health care.
All right, just come fully into the party and we'll work out the rest, for God's sakes. Here, leave those lunatics behind. Okay. Oh, by the way, someone has posted a Black Knight picture regarding this whole thing, which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, that was John Fugelsang. John Fugelsang's page.
Oh, okay.
Did that.
Yeah. All right, John will join us live in studio. Yes. Hour number 3, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've got to keep up our strength for the fight against evil!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Senator Harry Reid.
The House has a unique form of legislating. It's hour by hour.
That was a little backhanded there.
Yeah.
SWAT. Gail Collins in New York Times writes, first, the good news. The people who track killer asteroids for the NSA are still on the case despite the government shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
Bad news, a lot of the people who inspect food aren't. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. The NSA doesn't look after asteroids. That's NASA.
NASA. Sorry, I meant NASA. I read it quickly.
NSA does a different kind of surveillance.
Yeah. Right. Sorry. My bad. NASA. I didn't mean to say NSA. the guys at the FDA who make routine appearances at, say, nut shelling factory to look for vermin are on furlough. Not to mention a lot of the people who check shipments of seafood or vegetables from outside the country. Oh, good.
Yeah, fantastic. Watch out for your sushi. I saw you're eating, what, summer rolls this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, watch out for that.
The Pacific Ocean is completely irradiated now thanks to Fukushima.
Hmm. Fortunately, John Fugelsang will be here in hour 3 and could take over if need be.
Sure.
It's not entirely clear how popular the agency was before the recent news of a salmonella outbreak erupted, but right now it's up there with the national parks. Really, it's all personal. In fact, a good way to think about the current standoff is that it's a war between people who just want to have the government back and the people who want a new version of government with the priorities of Representative Ted Yoho of Florida.
Yoho!
I am using Ted Yoho because he's part of the caucus of right-wing hardliners in the House who caused the shutdown in the first place, and in part because I really enjoy writing Ted Yoho. And who can blame her?
Yeah.
I enjoy saying it.
Yoho!
Representative Yoho!
The pirate's life for me.
Was one of the very first members of Congress to verbalize the what-the-hey theory of global finance, possibly because he had all that background in debt management from his business, which is being a large animal veterinarian.
A cow doctor.
Or as a lot of people, right, said in the comments section, shut up, you're a cow doctor!
Yeah.
You're not an economist, what the hell? He was like, oh, debt, it'll be good for us, it'll be good for things if we default. Anyway, Gail says, back to our list. Good news. The Congressional Gym is open. Okay, possibly only good news if you're a member of Congress or a person who enjoys making fun of members of Congress. That's us.
Congressional staff can't even use the Congressional Gym.
No.
It's just members of Congress.
Just the people causing the shutdown.
Exactly.
Right. Nice. Good news. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention called back some of the furloughed employees to try to control that salmonella outbreak. Bad news. Most of the CDC is still at home, including the ones who work on the flu. Okay, everybody.
Are we entering cold and flu season?
Uh-huh. Yep.
We're all going to die.
Good morning. Okay, Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
You know, I do hope this all comes to an end, but I have there's a larger issue I just want to bring up. Tell me another profession, any other profession, where you would let first-year people run the show. The GOP turned over the Congress to Mark Meadows, the freshman congressman who wrote that letter that ADTP idiot signed, and they turned over the Senate to Ted Cruz. I mean, this is like telling my 10-year-old grandson, who can is tall and smart, and he wants to drive, so how let him?
Right, Yeah.
What other profession? First, it's like your new associate producer, Alex. Why don't you just walk away, Steph? Take Friday off. Give Alex the mic. What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? You mean our drunken Canadian intern?
Yeah. There'd be a lot of
he's really great.
There'd be a lot of boots and face cloths and serviettes right. on the radio.
Right. Remember the first time you were on TV? You had like those Cindy Brady eyes?
Yeah, when she went on that game show and she was asked a question, she looked in the camera and just went...
I was just looking at the story from Gawker. Unpaid intern, not a real employee, and can't sue for sexual harassment. Good news for me, bad news for Alex. A federal judge in New York has ruled that individuals who don't get paid for the work are not protected by New York City human rights law and therefore cannot bring a sexual harassment claim about employers. Woo! It's going to be a bad day for the Canadian intern.
The drunken Canadian intern.
Bill in Wisconsin.
Oops.
Take that. You know you want it.
I spilled the Labatt's all over the machinery.
Eh? You're not getting paid. Take it. Wear something tighter tomorrow.
Somebody get me a serviette.
Bill in Wisconsin. Hey, Bill.
Hi. I just wanted to make 2 points. First, the Constitution says that obligations of the United States shall not be questioned. So the Republicans that constantly wrap themselves in the Constitution, and every time they want to make a point, they reach into their inside pocket and grab out their personal copy so they can hold up their little book and say, I love the Constitution. The Constitution says we shall not default.
Yeah.
The reason it says it shall not default is because the Republican Party, the party of Wall Street, didn't want America's good, full faith and credit of the United States to be subject to the whims of Congress.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why, you know,
so it can't be.
That's why, Bill, people were starting to talk about the 14th Amendment. But, you know, I think that's obviously why the Republicans have caved on the debt ceiling, because you're exactly right. Let's go to Wayne in Washington. Hello, Wayne.
Hey, beautiful. Good morning.
Hello.
I've heard a lot of people make comparisons between Cruz and McCarthy, and one thing I wanted to point out, as detestable as McCarthy was, at least he was actually a World War II veteran. He went on to exaggerate his service to get elected.
Right.
He was
tail gunner Joe.
Exactly, thank you. But, yeah, you look at all these chicken hawk Republicans, you can go down the list, other than McCain, and then, you know, there's a few guys in the House that are actually veterans, and I personally get so sick of that. I'm a disabled veteran, so I called Kathy McMorris and Boehner, and then I called Senator Crapo from Idaho, since I have two awesome female Democrat senators here in the state of Washington. I gave them all a piece of my mind. I was very respectful to McMorris. I'm ashamed to say not so much to Crapo. It was kind of profanity laced, so I'm embarrassed by that. But
all right, put a quarter in the swear jar, and we'll call it a day.
Just call him Crapo.
Oh, we'll call it a
day. Crapo. Call him Crapo, and we'll be done with it.
Because his name sounds like poo. Okay, Representative.
And if you see Ted Cruz had a haircut, he looks even more like Joe McCarthy.
We get it already. Just don't start waving around a list. We get it. Representative Nancy Pelosi, yesterday.
Our emphasis is on to solve the problem, open government.
Yeah, I think she may have hit someone on the nose with a rolled-up newspaper yesterday.
I think so.
She gave him that grandma look and just, stop it, thwack. The boner yesterday.
It's time for leadership.
Right.
It's time for these negotiations and this conversation to begin. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that the president will look at this as an opportunity and a good faith effort on our part.
Right.
To move halfway.
Right.
Right.
Halfway.
It's like the hostage credit. We're going to pull you up halfway out of the window to your knees, so we're coming halfway to you.
You just give up on your little medical insurance little gimmick.
the boner.
And we'll be
one more
halfway.
Time. Right.
Clearly, you could end up back in the same place, and we don't want to be there.
I'm so drunk. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Tina Dupuis next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Just watching Ted Cruz get heckled at the Value of Voters Summit.
Yeah.
They're all armed with bug zappers.
And he called the hecklers paid Obama operatives.
At the Values Voters Summit. Yeah. Right, right. Oh, what a sad, dispirited little group they are this morning. He said, none of us know how this is going to end, this Obamacare fight. Yeah, we kind of do.
Loser.
Yeah, kind of do. Bye-bye. All right, then. See ya, slam. Okay. None of us knows how the Obamacare fight's going to end. Yeah, we do. Everyone does but you. All right. Jim, look who's here. Mm. Why?
Speaking of funny and smart, I want to bring on Tina Dupuis. Tina Dupuis is brilliant. She's funny. She's a terrific writer.
Yeah. Tina does everything, and I just love her already.
Oh, hello, Tina.
Good morning, Stephanie.
that jingle just jollies us all right up. So this just gets funner and funner, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is you know, it's a pretty good time to be an Obama bot. I don't know, I got nothing. I keep on hearing these liberals. They're like, okay, this is how Social Security gets cut, and I'm like, no, this is how you win.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
You give them enough rope so that they hang themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're talking about Ted Cruz. He went and commissioned his own poll. And it basically said that they're not winning, to which he said, that means we are.
Right.
No, you need to check Ohio again. That can't be right.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of like living this kind of data-free bubble. You know, I have no idea. They've been planning this for, you know, months and months, if not over a year. I have no idea how they thought that this would make them look good. Usually when you shut down the government, that upsets people. But they think that if Americans look around and go, you know, national parks are stupid. We don't need them. You know, I'm going to vote for more Republicans. Because this is awesome. I love being reminded that we're starting to turn into we resemble a banana republic without the exports.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, of course, a couple days ago, Tina, that PPP poll came out saying that they are really in danger of losing the House of Representatives. And, of course, I'm like, oh, that's a liberal poll. Well, you know, you look at the Wall Street Journal, NBC poll, the Gallup poll, they're all saying the same thing, right? The one thing I picked out of this one, the NBC, is last month voters preferred a Democratic Congress to a Republican Congress by 3 points. This month it's up to 8 points. And Obamacare is becoming more popular despite all of, you know, and this is exactly what they're afraid of. You know, and again, it's still going to take time for everything to kick in. But last month, 31% said it was a good idea, 44% bad idea. This month, 38% think it's a good idea, 43% a bad idea. So, I mean, it's just, you know, those are the numbers they're afraid of, right?
Well, numbers are liberal.
Yes.
Math is a liberal bias.
Right.
You know, it really does. I mean, arithmetic, total commie. So that's really the issue.
Well, and I was saying before this poll came out, Tina, yesterday I knew that we were at a tipping point because we have a right-wing sister station that Rush is on over there. And the two guys over there, they're not, you know, down the line right-wing, but they did an interview with a guy from the Heritage Foundation, which you wrote about this week, and you could have done that interview. They were like, what the hell are you doing? Like, what the hell are you doing? And that's when I know that, you know, this did not surprise me, this poll. As you were saying, they've been always wrong. They talked about the Bush tax cuts. produced a more growth-oriented tax policy for the long term, helping the economy weather current storms arising in the housing and capital markets. That was back in June 2008. And you say Lehman Brothers had just lost $2.8 billion in the second quarter. They'd already laid off thousands. They were weeks away from total collapse. The housing bubble burst before the ink was dry on this Heritage Foundation rosy report. Foster wrote, tax relief helped to restore robust economic growth following the Clinton recession. you say, in short, they were wrong, really wrong, outrageously, shockingly, egregiously wrong. Right?
It's just one of those things when you read it, because it's still on the Internet. You know, I mean, right. I commend them for leaving this stuff up on the Internet, because the score of the Bush tax cuts is even funnier in 2001. Right. But you read it and you just cringe. I mean, the just shamelessness of, just being that incorrect. Like, as a journalist, apparently economists never have to make corrections. I interviewed one from the Heritage Foundation. Apparently they never have to make corrections. Like, if I get something wrong, I have to, like, go back and, like, say, look, I messed up. I misspelled this. I got this wrong. And everybody knows that I messed up. But when you're an economist, you can just say, this is the best thing that's ever happened. They give you your check, you cash it, and then you go, oh, yes, you know, reality, or, you know, something changed as soon as I wrote that, and therefore it didn't come to fruition. Well, I'm not psychic. I'm just an economist. They never have to be right. Yeah.
It's comedy. It's comedy manna for you, because you say the same billionaire David Koch-affiliated group said in 2001 the Bush tax cuts would effectively pay off the federal debt. Seriously, pay off the federal debt, you're right. They said that. I mean, it's, you know, and so you say what the unpaid-for Bush tax cuts did, along with the two wars lobbed onto a credit card, is create more debt than Republicans now pretend it's a Sharknado, bubonic, mandatory abortion, Muslim science-based happy holidays, minorities voting, greenhouse gas-reducing gay weddings plague. I mean, it's just, so that's what you talk about. It's like they have zero credibility, right?
Right. Now they're like, oh, this debt's going to kill us. This debt is ruining our children's future and our grandchildren's future. And oh, the debt. And it's like, okay, wait a second. This was something that you guys were totally into and totally signed on to when a white dude was in the White House, when it was a Republican. But now suddenly the debt is the thing that's going to kill us all. You know, and here's the other thing that really was shocking to me. Like, we've said this, and I'm sure I've said this on your show, and this should be repeated all the time. Like, the Heritage Foundation came up with an individual mandate.
Thank you.
It was first floated by Nixon. It was something that Reagan talked about all the time. But really, who fleshed it out in '89 was the Heritage Foundation. And that was what was touted as an alternative to Hillary Care. That was what Mitt Romney put into, that was what Romney Care is.
Yeah.
You know, is the individual mandate, essentially. It's buying private insurance. And that is what they're now calling socialized medicine, is buying private insurance and regulating the insurance companies.
Yeah.
Of course, have come out and said, it's a difference. What I supported in the 90s is different than what Obamacare is.
Right.
And
that was like Mitt Romney trying to explain how Obamacare was different than Romney Care during the election. That was entertaining.
But when you get down to the details, and I wrote about this, and and I encourage everybody to go read it. But you read the op-ed, the justification that I don't support Obamacare because what I thought was different. That premise, it gets down to, like, the reason why we wanted people to be insured is to protect others, not themselves. And then they talk about things like a tax incentive, a tax treatment instead of a fine, stuff like that. I mean, really, like, nuancy things that basically mean the same thing. But when it comes right down to it, really the only reason why the government is shut down right now, that the Republicans are against Obamacare, is that the Heritage Foundation is being able to come up with, is that we are buying insurance not altruistically, that we're buying insurance to cover ourselves instead of buying our insurance to cover, to protect other people from having to pay for our health care.
Yeah. I love that you're my favorite part of your piece this week is the Tea Party co-opted the Revolutionary War's flag, the yellow flag with the rattlesnake saying, don't tread on me. You said a more apt illustration would be a snake eating its own tail while accusing Obama of cannibalism. But, you asked the operative question, what's worse for the country, when conservatives don't get their way or when they do? Right?
True.
I mean,
it's
the
true.
Fact that they're going, okay, so you're going to shut down the government over defunding a law that was your idea? Like, where are we at exactly when that happens?
Right, and then it's like, well, you know, well, the president doesn't want to talk to us, and the president doesn't want to, like, you know, reason with us. And I'm like, really? Not reason with you. Sounds like a smart dude.
I know. Well, we're dealing with the Labradors of the world. Here he is, Representative Raul Labrador. Take a listen. Here he is, Republican.
We're saying we'll give him a clean debt ceiling for 6 weeks so he can negotiate on the issues dealing with the debt. But when it comes to the continuing resolution, when it comes to the issues dealing with Obamacare, we're going to continue to hold our ground.
Okay. All right. That seems to be working well for you.
You know, I think that, like, I mean, and if they were not delusional, they would have gone in the very beginning when they had, like, this ridiculous list of demands in order to keep the government open, you know, that women couldn't get health care, you know, or whatever.
Right.
But, like, they just had, like, this kind of, like, laundry list of everything that Republicans have wanted, you know, in the last 30 years.
It is extraordinary. It is extraordinary after losing two landslides to him to present him with basically all of their ideas that have lost and go, here. You need to do this now and also defund your signature legislation. I mean, it's just.
But, right. But thinking that, like, from a. Right. But thinking from, like, a PR perspective, right? From a PR perspective, you go, like, look, here's everything that nobody wants, but we want. And if you don't give it to us, then we're going to tell everybody that you shut down the government and that's going, and people are going to buy it.
Yeah.
It's like. No. I mean, if they would have said, like, look, you know, what we want is, you know, the, like, the taxes on the medical equipment taken away, right? Say that was just one thing. They, like, if the ask would have been reasonable, then they would have seemed reasonable. But the ask was ridiculous, therefore they look insane.
Yeah, my favorite picture this week is the right under the latest NBC Wall Street Journal poll. It's just a picture of Boehner crying. And it's not hard to find pictures of Boehner crying. All right. Tina Dupuy, syndicated columnist, great stuff as usual. We'll talk to you soon, honey.
Stephanie, you're the best. Thank you.
You're the best. No, you. All right.
TinaDupuy.com if you'd like to check out her stylings.
Do it. Get it. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, the more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour. His loveliness, John Fugelsang, live in studio with us for Fridays with Fugelsang, hour number three.
Yeah.
1-800-STEPH-12. Oh, this sad, sad little values voters summit. They're just... Michelle Cottle is tweeting from there.
Oh.
At Values Voter Conference, they're expecting a full house for Rubio, Cruz, Paul, Mike Lee, and Tim Scott opening speeches. As value voters take their seats, the background patriotic musical mix includes Dixie, which has one attendee clapping merrily along. Aw, a single teabagger clapping. 5 minutes in, and the MC has already dropped jokes about Obamacare, Pelosi, and Hillary. Impressive efficiency. 15 minutes into the conference, we have the first clarification. This is not a government shutdown, but a slowdown. Mike Lee gets standing ovation from value voters when he says he and Cruz have been criticized of late, but will not apologize. Yes, that's right. Yeah, America, you stick with that plan. That's going well. Oh, dear. Oh, you know who I bet's going to show up there?
Who?
James Woods. Have you seen him all over the Twitter
machine? He's a little cray-cray.
What is up with him?
He and Dennis Miller kind of had a psychotic break after 9/11, I think.
Actor James Woods has taken to Twitter to express his frustration with President Obama and the Affordable Care Act and the liberal trolls that he says are waging war on real Americans.
Huh?
The president is a true abomination, he tweeted. In a series of tweets, he railed against the Obama administration. At one point, compared the president to Hitler.
Of course.
And Stalin.
As Republicans are wont to do.
Oh, that was a clever tweet. Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin were both Nobel Prize peace nominees. See what he did there? Because that's why. One. So, they're what? Okay. He also wrote, I don't expect to work again. I think...
His career is actually doing quite well. He's in a movie that's out right now, actually. Yes.
He said, I think Barack Obama is a threat to the integrity and future of the Republic. My country first. Oh, What a fine, fine American.
I hate it when Republicans in Hollywood whine that they're never going to work again. But then you see them in movie after movie after movie after that. It's like, that's
well,
getting old.
See, it's a liberal conspiracy.
And it's getting really old.
And, as you say, it might be not because he's conservative, but a different C word, as in cray-cray.
He's cray-cray.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe. Just saying. All right. Why not? We need a shutdown break.
Okay.
So I've dealt with James Woods got us into Celebrity Stack. I just love this story. Jack Nicholson was about to tee off on a golf course out here in L.A.
Yeah.
When a woman suddenly charged up and told him she was horrified to read that he's suffering from memory loss and might quit acting, throwing a hand up to silence her, he recited Shakespeare's Hamlet for nearly 2 minutes. And he said, "It seems, madam, that my memory serves me just fine.
Thou wretched, rash, intruding fool, farewell, I took thee for thy better, take thy fortune. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, I could go on. Thou seest my memory faileth not, milady. Methinks the lady doth need a lot of drinks. Forsooth, not to break the ice, but to kill the bug she hath up her ass.
She hath up her ass?
If thou wouldst have me on my back, thou needst but to ask. Wind in the crown, lead in the codpiece."
Wow, it's a mishmash. Shakespeare in terms of endearment. Hooray!
Oh, yay.
Oh, dear. Kris Jenner and Bruce Jenner separated.
Yep.
Much happier living apart. They said their family will remain their number one priority and making money off said family with reality shows, I'm guessing.
That was more Chris's thing. Bruce seemed like he was an unwilling participant.
No prenup, $125 million.
Oh. Yikes.
Not sure how much longer family will stay the priority. And
yeah.
Ching. Wow.
Oh, and Kris Jenner said this morning that she regrets divorcing Robert Kardashian.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, this story is a little bit terrifying. A little bit. A wealthy Connecticut man who allegedly stocked hundreds of guns in his million-dollar mansion was arrested after telling police he was building a bomb for Rolling Stones guitarist Keith Richards.
What? That's random.
What could go wrong handing Keith Richards a bomb?
he said a bong.
Oops. Joseph Callahan called police last week claiming someone had broken into his house. When police searched the house, we're told they found a terrifying arsenal of guns and explosives, including roughly 100 pounds of ammonium nitrate.
Wow.
That was, remember the first World Trade Center bombing? Uh-huh. That was the standard.
Yeah.
Okay. He told police he planned to give the bomb to Keith Richards.
Why?
Okay.
But
had
my
no intention
God.
Of harming him. He was taken into custody and put on a 72-hour psychiatric hold.
You think?
Yes.
He's even crazier than James Woods.
He had been charged with 112 counts of illegal possession of explosive, reckless endangerment, manufacture of bombs, which he called his hobby.
Yeah. He's going to have a different hobby in prison.
Here's the scary part. His lawyer says Callahan was mentally unstable at the time of his arrest, but has since stabilized and been released.
Sure.
On his own recognizance.
He's fine.
Really?
Oh,
okay.
My God.
Really?
Wow.
Is that shutdown related? He said, all right, we don't have enough agents. You seem fine. Go ahead.
He lives right next to a fertilizer factory. Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah. I'd give anything to see the look on the cop's face. You're making a bomb for, I'm sorry, who now? Okay.
Oh, I thought you said Cliff Richard.
Cliff Richard. Well, that would totally make sense.
All right. And now it's an episode of Douchey Singers, Cool Singers. It's like Rich Man Poor Man. I just made that up now.
Okay.
Kanye West, still douchey.
Yeah.
He and Jimmy Kimmel have made peace. They were having a Twitter war because there was a sketch mocking Kanye. He's a little tetchy, I'm told. But he was on, and he said, I'm a creative genius, and there's no other way to word it.
He ranted for like 8 solid minutes without Jimmy Kimmel getting a word in edgewise. It was uncomfortable to watch.
He and Chris Brown could have a long, extended conversation about how awesome they both are, right? equally awesome. And then, in cool singer news, truly cool... Why does this never happen to me? Coolio shows up at a college student's house and cooks them dinner and jams with them.
Do you want Coolio cooking your dinner, though?
Yes, it sounded delicious. He made Coolio's Caprese salad. Who doesn't love Caprese salad? Caprese, yeah.
I like a Caprese salad.
He invited himself to the off-campus helping of some random college students, stuck around to cook them dinner, and even jam out to an acoustic version of Gangsta's Paradise.
That's kind of awesome.
What's not cool about that? But wait, there's more. I'll tell you after the break. 29 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Believe me, everyone takes the easy way if they can. That's why we tell fart jokes. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34.
It's not technically a joke, really.
It's funny, though.
It's still funny. Oh, that was real. Okay, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang in for Fridays with Fugelsang next hour. Oh, I have more on this Coolio story.
Oh, okay.
How Coolio is that?
Coolio put the flow back in your ear.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He cooked dinner for some college kids and then did an acoustic rendition of Gangsta's Paradise.
Okay.
That is awesome. He shared a lot of thoughts about his time with Tupac. A lot of insight to his upbringing, life on the streets. One of the kids said, I not only learned how to sharpen a knife last night, but a lot of deep lessons from Coolio, all while sipping from a bottle of Patron. Come on. That's a cool story.
That kind of is. Any reason given why he popped
into
this?
I once whittled with Stephen Stills for a moment, but that's a totally different story.
That's not, yeah, that's what? Not the same.
No. But it was still cool. Speaking of cool, what about, why did this never happen to me in high school? Paul McCartney surprises New York City high school students with a concert. What the? Really? 400 students in a New York City school for the performing arts got the shock of their lives. Paul McCartney strolled onto their concert hall and rocked out a performance to celebrate the release of his new album. They went bananas. Said the principal, it was a complete surprise until the end, just before they announced who was coming on stage. He sang Hey Jude 8 days a week and an acoustic rendition of Blackbird.
Wow. Hmm. The best we got at my high school was Tom Wolfe, which was kind of cool, but it wasn't Paul McCartney.
There was a rumor once that who was that? I kept trying to think who the who was the 70s duo was coming, and it turned out to be completely
Susan
untrue.
Crofts?
No. Oh, but that was close.
Ferrani and Teicher?
No. John Fogerty? I can't remember. It was
what?
Something. I don't know. It was something. No, I'll think of it. I'll think of it.
Simon and Garfunkel?
No. I'm not that old.
Hall & Oates?
No. All right.
Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers?
No! Stop it!
Oliver Hardy?
Oh, no. Okay. They're going to show a talkie later? Oh, my God. All right. We've been talking about, you know, this week here in California, it's a big week. It's the 10-year anniversary of the recall that gave us the governor. Dear God. The L.A. Times saying 10 years after the recall, California still feels the effects. We played that great Bill Maher piece about how great things are going in California since, what was it that we did?
We
got rid of all the
Republicans.
Yes. Pretty much. And now we are living in a socialist fagtopia, is what he called it?
Yes.
And we like it. L.A. Times writing 10 years ago, California erupted in anti-government, anti-establishment convulsion unlike any ever seen. I mean, this is really a tale about what's going on nationally, right? And this is what the polls are showing, or people are rejecting this nationally as well. Disgruntled voters seized the chance for a rare do-over, recalling their staid and serious Governor Gray Davis, replacing him less than a year after his reelection with one of the most famous and exuberant personalities.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get back to the chopper and things of this nature.
The spectacle, a snap election featuring a color wheel of 135 candidates. Remember that? We had a porn star and a... you know, Jim and I, our favorite was the debate. Remember? With
Gary Coleman was one
right,
of them?
Right. But there was Arianna Huffington and the governor, just the, you know, you remember the, you know, the debate you need the UN headset for. You know what I'm talking. I don't understand why you're saying
that. What are you talking about?
We still do that for kids' birthday parties. Still a huge hit. We make some balloon animals. It's a whole thing. A decade on, the effects are still being felt, albeit subtly, and not the way proponents imagined or the way Arnold Schwarzenegger so grandly promised. Yeah, remember all the movie catchphrases when it seemed so fun and fresh?
Yeah. I'm going to terminate the deficit and hasta la vista, Gray Davis. I'm going to send you to Mars where your eyeballs will bulge out of the sockets because of the atmosphere and all of this.
when he left office more than 7 years later, after sinking to the same poll ratings as Davis. Oh, dear. And I think that's before we knew about the...
Yeah.
The partisan rancor was unabated, and the budget deficit had more than doubled. Huh. What happened to the
termination of the deficit? Instead, you left a tumor.
Fiscal responsibility in all of this.
You left a fiscal tumor.
And things of this nature.
Okay. Say, so since we started with poop, let's... I needed a break from the shutdown. I need a little, fun stack break.
Yeah.
They're meeting, I guess. They're going to have another meeting with the president at, I think, 8 a.m. Pacific time. Something like that is the last I heard.
About 20 minutes.
Yeah, let's see how the conversation is going with John Boehner. I swear to God, they're probably just going to have to throw water on Boehner. Okay, come on. Come on.
Then he'll melt. He'll melt like the Wicked Witch.
It's going to be worse this time. What a world! What a world! All right, future husband Zach, man in police chase, I needed to poop.
Oh.
A Utah man has been sentenced to 7 days in jail after a high-speed chase that he blamed on a bathroom emergency. He told a judge that he ate something that upset his stomach and was racing to get to a rest area. The judge pointed out that he passed several outhouses while he led a trooper in the chase.
Outhouses?
That reached 111 miles an hour.
Outhouses?
Apparently.
Okay.
The judge not buying that. In other news, sorry, that wasn't what I meant.
I think we've all sped faster in order to avoid an emergency.
That's been true for me. Old masturbating McDonald's customer tried to order a McGrope. Gawker brings us the story. A 69-year-old pantsless masturbating Florida man. I was going to say where
Florida,
else? Florida.
Yeah. Talk about special sauce.
Whoa!
No!
Jim.
I think that's Jack in the Box with me. Yeah.
Could not keep his hands to himself as he went through a McDonald's drive-thru in Wildwood, Florida. Ooh, got a little wilder.
Yes.
He placed his order, then pulled up to the cashier window and paid. When the cashier turned back to give him his change, he realized that he did not have any pants and was masturbating at that time as well.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Here, have some hot soup.
Oops.
The defendant grabbed the cashier's hand and attempted to pull her hand into the vehicle.
So he was looking for some...
Wouldn't you give a hand to a friend? No?
By the way, yes. Neil on Twitter wonders if it was England Dan and John Ford Coley.
That's it!
Was it really?
How did he know?
I think he was just being funny.
The quintessential 70s, right. That was a rumor forever that they were coming for whatever reason.
I'd really love
concert.
To see you tonight. Really
yes!
Love
yes.
To oh, God.
I really love to see you tonight. 70s wimp rock. See, we're back into that topic.
Oh, no.
70s puss rock.
It took people a long time to figure out that lyric. I'm not talking about my name. What would you say?
I always mumbled. Moving in.
That's moving in, yeah. But
yeah, I always mumbled that lyric because I never
I'm not talking about magic today.
Okay, well, fine.
Well,
don't bring that up again. That blah, blah. Because you know we talked about that, and I said no.
No.
I'm not going to
flip.
I'm not doing that.
Whatever
I don't like
it is,
that.
I'm not doing it.
I don't like that position. I said don't bring it up. Come on. I mentioned that is what that's about. Do not bring that up again. I'm not talking about that. Okay.
I'm not arguing with you about that.
Here it's yet another, it's the second drunken feral pig story, because I was just saying there are very few things left to compare Tea Party Republicans to.
Okay.
Particularly when you've already tried suicide bombers, and that didn't go well for me in right-wing world.
Sure
I meant
did.
Politically.
Newsbusters just doesn't know what a metaphor is.
Right.
They need to take a literature class.
Right.
Poor things.
Swino the feral pig.
Oh, this one has a name.
Right.
Okay.
Right, and he is the new Speaker of the House. No, I'm just No, actually, he is muerto. It's a sad story. But he was a Swino the Feral Pig was a happy drunk, much like the Speaker of the House.
Yes.
Yes, this is the beer-stealing feral pig. But now, true to his live fast and die young lifestyle, he is a roadkill, much like the congressional Republicans. Metaphorically, Newsbusters, political roadkill if you're looking at the new NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Okay. Can I have some love music, please?
Sure.
Aw. OK Cupid? Anybody? Anybody? Who's used OK Cupid? No?
I think Travis has.
Oh, really? How'd that go for him? We'll need to report.
He's still single.
Okay, not okay. So it's not okay, Cupid, for him. Users of the popular online dating site OkCupid, who are looking to avoid sullying their search results with unattractive people, can now filter out the undesirables, courtesy of new, recently installed features. Yes, the headline is, OkCupid users can pay to weed out uggos and fatties. Just like Lord of the Flies.
Aww.
Among the body types users are invited to ignore, overweight, full-figured, little extra, and used up.
Used up? That's
Does anyone refer to themselves as used up? I'm all used up, but come on, give me a spin.
It's like throwing a hot dog down a hallway.
Broomstick in a garbage plant. You know. Fail, whatever you want to say, but my point is, come on. Give me
Who admits that on their profile?
Give me a tumble. OkCupid also allows its paying customers or A-list members to choose how attractive they'd like their dating partner to be with the help of a five-star scoring system determined by OkCupid's own algorithms. Wow, that's kind of mean, y'all.
Uggos and fatties.
No uggos, no fatties. It's our only rule.
Wow. Have you been checking the Facebook lately? A wife will take back cheating husband if he gets 10,000 likes on Facebook. Did you see this? She made him post a picture of himself with a sign that says, I cheated on my wife. And she was ugly. Meaning the woman.
The woman.
Right.
That's the other woman. Right. Yes, okay.
Right. Annie wrote, Sonia Gore, that's his wife, said, I got to get 10,000 likes before she takes me back. He's still about 5,000 likes away from redemption, but things are looking up. There he is. Very cute. Oh. Parker writing, if these two crazy lovebirds can't make it work, what hope is there for the rest of us? All right. And Jim and I, not a fan of the GPS. We've mentioned that before.
Right.
Oh, even my Waze thing, my traffic jam thing.
Recalculating.
It's sometimes, I don't know what the hell it's talking about sometimes. Sometimes it's good, and other times I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
GPS blamed after a couple stuck for 2 days. California couple following directions from a GPS device have been stuck 2 days with their motorhome on a muddy back road in southern Oregon mountains.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. You got
See?
It.
See?
Uh-huh.
That's the way sometimes Waze says to go to West Hollywood through the muddy road in South Oregon.
Right.
I'm like, I don't think so.
And she says, no.
I don't actually think that's the quickest way. See? People trusting their gadgets.
Sometimes Waze will take me on side streets where you have to stop at a stop sign at a very busy street like Beverly Boulevard. And I'm like, I'm never getting right. across that.
Right. Stupid.
Stupid Waze.
Stupid Waze. Okay. 46. We need Californians' GPS.
Yeah.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Try to be paid for goodness sakes.
Okay. All right.
Otherwise, you're going to have all idiots listening to your program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not much, how about you? I'm not sure why I called. I guess I really just wanted to talk to you. And I was thinking maybe later on we could get together.
Yeah.
What's rock of the 70s?
Yeah.
It's been such a long time and I really do miss your smile.
See, this is how one my listeners and I are. Someone just knew what I was thinking.
Yep.
What random 70s duo I was thinking of. And that was it.
England Dan and John Ford Coley.
With some rumor they were supposed to come play at our high school. Never came true.
And people were actually excited about that rumor?
Yes.
Really?
Oh. I think it was one of those Murphy girls that put that out there.
Why would they appear...
Their credibility is as shot as the Heritage Foundation now.
Why would they appear at a Catholic girls' high school in Lockport, New York?
It was not girls' high school. They're
really
boys.
Okay.
They're boys.
Why would they appear at a small Catholic high school in...
Including Tommy, who was my boyfriend, if you recall.
He was my boyfriend!
God, try to keep up.
All right.
Robert in Seattle. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Steph. I'm honored. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Obamacare.
Okay.
So I am a Democrat. I love Obama. Voted for him twice.
I do not believe a word you're saying.
Oh, you have to, because it's very true.
I'm all
about people getting medical coverage. It's absolutely
right,
the most important
right,
thing.
Because you are a Democrat who calls it Obamacare because you love Obama and voted for him.
Oh, it's just 12, only because that's what everybody else calls it.
12 times. Okay. All right. I'm not.
Yeah.
No
patience on a Friday.
I'm no patience for. But thank you for calling.
I like to look at both sides.
Trolley McTrollerson, thank you for calling. That was remarkably good reception from under a bridge. I am a Democrat who voted for Obama and loves Obamacare. So this is why my point is going to have particular resonance. Okay.
I'm one of millions.
Crinkle, crinkle.
Who
let me turn the page
Obamacare.
On my talking point. Also.
And furthermore. Oh,
I am the owner of a small surgery business, and I just stepped out of surgery.
I only do
to,
small surgeries.
Right, on little people. And
little
I stepped
incisions.
Out of a surgery on Vern Troyer to say this. Obamacare is killing my small surgery business. Oh, Lord.
My small surgery business is dying.
Wow, and just when you thought Tea Party Republicans could not get more delusional, have you seen this guy? The guy that's running against Cory Booker? He's going to get thumped.
Okay.
Most polls show Booker up by 13.
A zillion.
Right. Lonergan, is that his name?
Sure.
They just had a debate last night. What's his name? I don't even know his whole name. I'll find it. Fresh off a contentious final debate in the race for New Jersey open Senate seat, Republican candidate Steve Lonergan, that's
okay.
it, today predicted victory and warned President Obama that his radical agenda would fold if the former, if he prevails. He said, my victory in this election on Wednesday will send a message to Barack Obama, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi. The American people want an end to Obamacare and the rest of the president's radical agenda. He cited internal polling.
Ah, from inside his own ass?
It shows the race with Cory Booker to be neck and neck.
That's some internal polling going
right.
on.
Yeah.
Yes, he is polling himself for sure. Republicans need to hold firm because 7 days from today, when New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez escorts me down the Senate aisle for my swearing in, the message about what our party would should do will be clear for all.
They're coming to take him away.
You'll be somewhere in a week. Yes.
Listener Zeb tweets, you people suck. That crappy song will be in my head all damn day now. Hashtag I hate you.
Come on. We're not talking about Lala Maher.
And I don't want to tell you.
God, we don't want to fly in there. Come on. Oh, well. Sorry. Oh, yikes. Did you see this story? Prison review of Ariel Castro's death in Cleveland cites the possibility of autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yes.
Just if he thought he could not be any creepier, even in death, he actually just
got
creepier.
He went Michael Hutchins himself.
Yeah. Cleveland serial rapist Ariel Castro died with his pants down and a Bible open.
Oh, boy. Oh, a Bible. Wow.
Oh,
he gets off on the
worse.
Bible?
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, Bathsheba. Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez. According to a new report that suggested he may have been engaged in autoerotic asphyxiation.
With the Bible.
You shouldn't do that in excess. Because then if you go too far, okay.
Wow.
Who would like, do we have some exorcist music? I was promising to read some of the creepiest part of it. This is a sitting Supreme Court justice. That's a lifetime appointment, Jim. If you ever needed a more... evidence of why elections matter other than what's going on now. This is quite lengthy. Some thoughts about the devil. He said, but it was talking about you believe in the devil. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. He's a real person. That's standard Catholic doctrine. Really? Okay.
Also known as Dick Cheney.
Right. He said, every Catholic believes this. Yes. If you're faithful to Catholic dogma, that's certainly a part of it. New York Magazine. Have you seen evidence of the devil lately? Scalia. You know, it's curious. In the Gospels, the devil is doing all sorts of things. He's making pigs run off cliffs. He's possessing people and whatnot. And that doesn't happen very much anymore. New York Magazine, no. As they back slowly away.
Yeah.
Scalia, it's because he's smart. New York Magazine, so what's he doing now? Scalia, what he's doing now is getting people not to believe in him or God. He's much more successful that way. New York Magazine, That has really painful implications for atheists. Are you sure that that's the devil's work? Scalia, I didn't say atheists are the devil's work. New York Magazine. Well, you're saying the devil is persuading people to not believe in God. Couldn't there be other reasons not to believe, Scalia? Well, there certainly could be other reasons, but it certainly favors the devil's desires. Chris.
Sure, it's only logical.
I mean, come on, that's the explanation for why there's not demonic possession all over the place. That's always puzzled me. What happened to the devil, you know? He used to be all over the place.
Bobby Jindal took care of it.
He used to be all over the New Testament. New York Magazine. Right.
Sure.
Scalia, what happened to him, New York Magazine? He just got wilier? Scalia, he got wilier. New York.
Oh, my God.
New York Magazine. Isn't it terribly frightening to believe in the devil, Scalia? You're looking at me as though I'm weird. My God, are you just so out of touch with most of America, most of which believes in the devil?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Lifetime appointment.
That guy has a lifetime
appointment. 58 minutes after the hour. Fridays with Feudal Sang next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. 6 minutes after the hour. Why? Because I am...
Sexy Liberal Stephanie Miller.
Why, thank you. And speaking of sexy liberals, look!
Tiddle sang, tiddle sang, tiddle sang. He's so
God.
I have it on authority that, who made this jingle? Is this Rocky Mountain Mike, or who made this one?
I can't remember.
Well,
we
whoever
have
did,
so many.
They stole it from George Harrison. I know that for a fact. Hey, this is My Sweet Lord ripped off. Good morning, children.
I have not seen your startling beauty in face and in person in I don't know how long.
I don't know if I've seen you since Chicago in April.
Chicago Sexy Liberal. Oh, and by the by, Sexy Liberal announcement will be next week. We're having a little box office snafu. So the big Sexy Liberal announcement... West Coast Sexy Liberal announcement will be next week. Everybody should.
There's really
a little panic in the chat room.
Big sexy announcement. Okay. If this shutdown has you down, from what I hear,
that's
the
right.
Rumors of this big announcement you've got coming are pretty massive.
Hey, and here's
satisfying.
Some good news for the Sexy Liberal Show. Wow, the latest Wall Street Journal NBC poll, disaster for Republicans. 20 by a 22 point margin. The public blames the Republican Party for the shutdown. This is a wider margin of blame, John, than for the GOP during the last shutdown in 95-96, which is saying a lot. This is the all-time low in the history of the poll, only 24% favorable rating for the GOP, 21% for the Tea Party.
This is funny for so many reasons.
Right.
My favorite thing to do now is watch my Republicans go on Fox News and explain to the voters how they're doing this shutdown for you,
sure.
And then waiting 10 minutes and seeing the same Republican politicians on CNN calling it Harry Reid's shutdown. It's a real fun game. Y'all can play it with the clicker.
Oh, man. But, it was interesting. I'm not sure how long it was after those poll numbers came out, John, where you're like, suddenly they were very chatty. Very, we think it's constructive talking to the president. We're very, wah, 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 wah. It has gotten more and more ridiculous, right? As they backpedaled their demands and... They have no leverage, and they still don't seem to...
I was having lunch with a producer friend in New York the other day, and she's like, tell me how the GOP is different from Walter White. And I said, well, I'll tell you two areas. Walter White started out as a nice guy, and Walter White had an end game plan. So in that regard, they're nothing like Walter White, because Walter knew what he was doing. And, this is what they wanted. This is the anarchy you paid for, Republicans. They promised you they would shut the government down.
And
they shut the government down, and now they're blaming Harry Reid for the government being shut down.
Yeah. I mean, you know, fortunately, they still have dopes like Michelle Bachmann around who's... Like, we got this exactly what we wanted, and we got it. I haven't seen members this happy in quite some time.
Yeah, well, you know.
Like, there's probably others like, shh, part you don't say out loud.
Well, for some of them, and I got in trouble for saying this the other day, but for some of these folks doing the shutdown, this is the closest they're ever going to get to seeing the Confederacy win. And they finally took out that evil U.S. government that doesn't respect states' rights. And I have no problem saying that because the demographic of imbecile Americans wants you to believe that because Democrats made up the Confederacy, that they were liberal. And so I've had all week having people come to me saying how liberals were behind the KKK and liberals were turned turning fire hoses on the Freedom Riders, and liberals were fighting for segregation. Liberals like
what?
Yeah, liberals like George Wallace and Bull Connor.
I was saying that Ted Cruz, if you just they think if they just say it enough, he just do you see how many times he repeated just I'm just so sad, I'm so disappointed in this Harry Reid here. President Obama shutdown. Mm-hmm. If Harry Reid and President Obama hadn't shut down the government, we wouldn't have to have this conversation. Yeah, you know, this Harry Reid shutdown is really a shame. I'm disappointed in this Harry Reid.
Yeah, if only Ted Cruz had, like, you know, done a filibuster to explain how deeply he was opposed to a shutdown. It would have been great.
And I love the part of this part of the polling, because, you know, he obviously did this as a big grandstanding ham that he is. He thinks he's going to be president. Most people don't know enough about who Ted Cruz is to register opinion, but among those who do, Cruz fares poorly. 28% have a negative opinion, only 14% a positive opinion. So, as you often say, good day, sir. You get nothing.
He's a complex guy, Ted Cruz, right. Because first off, he was born in Canada.
He's Cubanadian.
Yes, right. Which makes him American, as opposed to being born in America, which makes you Kenyan.
Right. And, right.
And also, you know, Ted Cruz, I mean, his wife wanted Thai, Ted wanted Italian, they couldn't decide, so he ended the marriage. I mean, he's a bright guy. The Ted Cruz plan to stopping dandruff is cutting off your own head.
Yikes. Yeah, he got a haircut. I think he was trying earlier.
Yes, I mean, Miley, more like Joe McCarthy.
Miley Cyrus just called Ted Cruz an attention whore. It's just, it's a sad time.
He should have brought along the finger.
The foam finger.
Ted right. Cruz is the Abraham Lincoln of Sarah Palin's.
Don Fugel's thing came loaded with bear.
Oh, I can't
loaded
wait.
With bear?
With four bear.
Shoot bear out of a gun?
What? It's going to be a very sexy liberal 2014.
Wow.
And the fact is, you know, I mean, these guys are so in the bubble. I'm calling them Glinda the Good Witch Party at this point. They live in the bubble full time. And they have really thought that this would help them because
right.
they have no ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every idea they have, the Democrats have taken. Obama pitched them a jobs bill that was 60% tax cuts, and they it died on the House floor like Wilt Chamberlain. These guys are all about telling the base what the base wants to hear and thinking that's going to be enough to compensate for a complete lack of legislative agenda in 2014. What they don't realize is that I think this shutdown is going to inspire Democrats like nothing we've seen since Bush.
Well, I mean, everybody's been talking about all the gerrymandering. Oh, it won't. And last week, or a couple days ago, excuse me, I was saying the PPP poll, which they're like, oh, that's a crazy liberal poll. It's showing the same thing that this new NBC Wall Street Journal poll is showing, John, and that is that they are in very real danger of losing the House, despite the gerrymandering.
Yeah, and you know what? You can't gerrymander your way to a better place in the history books.
Wait,
and
hang
that's
on.
You know that's what's worth remembering. By the way,
last month voters preferred a Democratic Congress to a Republican Congress by 3 points. This month it's up to 8 points. And who knows, right, what's going to happen by the time the election is actually held.
They're coming for your Medicare, folks. They're coming for your Social Security. That's the end game in all of this. They want to destroy the government. They want to throw it into default. There's billionaires out there that would love to see some deflation. This is all by design, and it ain't going to work. There's too many people that are waking up out of the Matrix, and there's nothing good on TV. People are paying attention to what's really going on.
Matrix, who was the Keanu Reeves? Oh, did Hal do that? That's what we needed, Keanu Reeves in Congress, because in Speed he did the best. What was the line he said?
Whoa.
Yeah. That's how he stopped the whole crisis. Right. Whoa. When the people were going crazy, he just went, whoa.
Whoa.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, and Ted Cruz is a great spokesmodel for this entire cause. But I have to believe that it's not going to go anywhere. I don't think that this is going to pay off for the GOP. And it's only going to inspire a lot of the Democratic base. It's going to be a very sexy liberal 2014.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my prediction.
Also, why? Thank you for using that term. I appreciate it. Bill in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Bill. You're on with John. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've lived here for 20 years now, and Romney Care's been in effect for, I guess, 8 or 10, and that's great. I don't know why the Democrats don't get more people from Massachusetts, you know, on to talk about it and talk about how we're all covered and it's all great.
Because they're Democrats, sir. That's why.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not forget, there's still some old patterns there. And this GOP is so incompetent, I keep thinking I'm watching the old Democrats.
Yeah.
I mean, they've out-incompeted the Democrats. But you're exactly right. This was, and Tina mentioned it earlier, it was a GOP plan.
Right. Heritage, I mean, that's the final irony. It's not only the Heritage, it was their plan. So they're the ones that they're fighting to shut down the government to defund their idea. And then their last presidential candidate thought of the idea and used it as well and then ran against it.
Exactly. I mean, the only mandate they have is, I don't know, David Dreyer, Ken Melman.
Hey!
But, But this is, you know, this is, I mean, where's the president going to compromise? He compromised on step one, y'all morons. Yeah. The liberal plan was single payer.
Yeah.
That evil socialism enjoyed by all of our capitalist allies. The democratic plan was the public option, and the public option hurts private insurance like community college hurts the Ivy League.
Yeah.
The conservative plan was the one we did.
Right. As we were saying when we debated this whole thing, when we started it, is that, like, look, this is a start. This is how Social Security and Medicare and all these things started, and I think that's what's going to happen, John, what you just said. Already, the exchanges are proving wildly popular, and I think that's what's going to happen, is like, oh, competition's good.
Excuse me, I heard there was a glitch on the website there. It's glitchy. Glitch, please. These are the guys who said sending troops into battle with inadequate body armor was a glitch. You know, this is the Republicans at this point, my friends, and I'm talking to you
trolls.
Right,
but don't you
think
like this could get us closer to a public auction or a single payer? Yes, I'm just saying that like you're going, oh, look how well this works. Just a little bit of competition.
And our friend Mr. Sparks has been saying that for a while, and it's looking more and more like, look, Medicare for All is the smartest, most economically sound plan that works. There are no allies of America, no capitalist nations on earth that have ever considered giving up their health care system to have something like what we have.
Germany's had it since the 1880s.
Death panel middlemen of insurance companies, people getting rich off disease. It's so bizarre to other countries that we make employers pay for someone's health care. It's not sustainable, it's not conservative, and it's not sane.
Yep, absolutely. All right, 16 minutes after the hour, we're off to a rollicking Fridays with Fuglesang as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. It's a fabulous program.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi. Steffi. Steffi.
I love disco. I hear it's making a comeback.
Oh, Jim. God's sakes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with John Fuglesang live in studio with us here in Los Angeles. Very, very exciting. Next week, the big sexy liberal announcement. We cannot wait. Jim, who said people keep talking about how this has to be a great negotiation, but there isn't any negotiating a law. The president was reelected on Obamacare. It was reaffirmed. It was passed through the Supreme Court. It's a law. You don't like it? Win an election. That's how it works. Who said that?
Milton Friedman.
No, George Clooney. Speaking of sexy liberal,
Man, Alfonso Cuarón went and made the best film of the year again.
I might see that this weekend.
Rush have some thoughts on winning elections once? I seem to remember that. I can't recall what it was exactly. It was so...
Shut up! Just go away, bury yourselves in your rat holes, and don't come out till you win an election. When you win an election, you can put all these socialist wackos like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer all over the court.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, shut up!
Oh, right. Okay. Socialism. I guess he'll be remaining. He'll be maintaining radio silence then until they win an election.
No, only as advertisers.
Shutting up for a long time.
If only.
Speaking of Supreme Court justices, your thoughts, ecclesiastical MOOC, on Antonin Scalia's thoughts about the devil and...
Well, he's an old school Catholic, and he's going to be loyal to his idea of the Catholic. You know, he would have been a great Supreme Court justice in the 1950s, a great pro segregation Supreme Court justice in the 50s. I mean, everything Scalia stands for has no basis in scriptural fact, that's the problem with the right wing Catholics. You don't get to follow Jesus and be pro death penalty and killing the sinner. You don't get to follow Jesus and hate on gay people, which Jesus never did. Scalia doesn't follow the laws of Leviticus, and he
suspects some of his friends are
isn't that great?
Homicide.
He suspects some of his friends. Oh wow, the Antonin Scalia gaydar machine. I can't wait.
He's like weighing their loafers on a little.
You know, there's this great
scale.
There's this great story about how the day Reagan nominated William Rehnquist to be Chief Justice, allegedly William Brennan went running in tears to Thurgood Marshall saying, tell me it's not true, tell me it's not true, because Rehnquist had been a segregationist. And this guy who once favored mandating apartheid in our country was being elevated to the top of the court. And William Rehnquist is the man who was not just a mentor to Scalia. Ted Cruz clerked for him.
Take your organ
so
back
the
out.
So Cubanadian is against people who aren't American-y enough.
Right. personal comedy, Jesus. Did you see this?
Yes,
the,
my child.
The Vatican had to withdraw more than 6,000 papal medals after the word Jesus was misspelled.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
It was spelled Leesus.
Yeah,
Leesus?
Oh, Leesus. Oh, that's Jesus' new hip-hop album.
Friggin',
it drops next week.
Friggin' Leesus. Autocorrect.
Leesus.
Hello, Leesus. This is Jesus.
Siri!
Leesus Feist.
Siri, what did you do?
Damn you, autocorrect.
Wow. Oh, my God. I had one last week. I was...
You know the money it's going to take to fix all that?
I texted someone. We were joking about stalkers or something, and I said, oh, I've heard from all of them last week. And I was like, heard. I've heard from all of them. Damn it.
Yeah, that's not a long enough list, Steph.
Autocorrect.
Yeah. I mean, only 2,000 people went down on the Titanic.
Yay! Jean-Louis Bugelsang.
I'm actually saving up all my money to buy a food taster for Pope Francis. So
yeah. He's a little too popey. Oh. He's a little too Jesus-y.
I guess Scalia doesn't like the new Pope any more than new Coke.
Yeah, exactly. The last time there was a Pope talking like this, he got something
Pope.
Special in his soup 30 days into the job.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, we saw Godfather 3. I know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it's an amazing time. I mean, the Catholic Church did like sort of what the people of Detroit did when they made David Bing the mayor. You've got this guy that everyone hates, and so you have to just bring in a really likable fellow, even if he has very little actual power to rebrand your brand. And that's what Francis is doing. No one's talking about raping children anymore.
Yeah.
They're talking about the fact that you actually have a pontiff who's talking about economic and social justice, who is just showing how unchristian the modern form of what we call capitalism is.
He's talking about things Christ actually talked about, which is considered radical, apparently.
Yeah. Well, but that's this is the argument you get from these right-wing Christians when you say that. They say, Jesus said to help the poor. Jesus didn't say to pick my pocket. It ain't compassion to steal. Taxes are theft in Benghazi. And you know what? Jesus didn't have democracy. He lived under Roman imperial rule. So if you don't want to use your tax dollars to help the poor, to help the sick, to be kinder to criminals, and to not start violence, don't say you want a government based on Christian values.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what they are.
You don't know what they
exactly.
are.
Exactly. Oh, speaking of The Godfather, by the way, did you see, Michael Eisner said that John Boehner is Fredo.
Kim Jong-un is Fredo.
Yeah, exactly.
John Boehner's not even Mo Green.
Yeah. I see him at
Someone shot him in the eye.
Oh, in the eye.
And now he has an eye problem.
An eye problem.
Man, I will say, if my entire caucus hated me, I would spray tan the cover of The Hangovers as well. You know, it's lose-lose for Boehner, because if Boehner does what the caucus wants him to do, the economy's trashed. If Boehner compromises, he's going to get challenged. I don't think there's a very good chance he might not be speaker for much longer.
Yeah, I love we were saying earlier, the description of him. He just walked silently back to his office after the meeting.
But this is
just a sad little carrot. Sad little carrot.
You heard about
dressed early for Halloween.
The Chamber of Commerce. The biggest news story of the week to me is that the Chamber of Commerce announced they are going to start actively financing the campaigns of incumbent Republicans who didn't want the shutdown. All those Republicans terrified of being primaried by Tea Party nuts, they're going to have Wall Street backing now.
Yeah.
It's going to be two elections at once next year, GOP against GOP.
Right. I mean, you're going to have exactly the Tea Party money and then the GOP establishment money, and who knows? I think you're right. It can only benefit us.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's like watching the Kardashians fight. I don't know who to root against.
Although the Tea Party is running out of money. FreedomWorks, it's been reported in Raw Story this morning, is having horrible money problems now.
Well, the Koch brothers are pulling out as fast as they can.
So the Tea Party's not going to have a lot of money to throw at these elections.
What did you just say, Jim?
the Koch suckers do not like it when you pull out.
They don't.
Right?
They don't like that. And
no.
Yeah. Right. That was what we had in New York all year, was Anthony Weiner, the guy who had no sex, who's never going to have sex, who didn't get to have any sex, and the media kept telling him to pull out.
Yeah. Hi!
You all see him on Hannity the other night, by the way?
They were yelling at each other, from what I hear.
Crazy.
Oh,
wow. It's really worth watching. He rattled Hannity. It was really interesting.
Wow.
Hannity just did a troll thing and shut down and said, you're just auditioning for MSNBC. And Weiner was like, you invited me 50 times to come on your show. It's really worth watching. It's on the YouTubes.
All right. The president. Yes.
Extend the debt ceiling. If they can't do it for a long time, do it for the period of time in which these negotiations are taking place.
Who knows? I guess the meeting is actually could be happening now, right? I heard 11 Eastern or something, John. But I don't, who knows what they have no hand left to play.
No, but I give Obama credit because he was a rock on not touching Affordable Care Act, and he said, he won't negotiate. And again, it's like, dude, he negotiated when he made the Heritage Foundation plan, our health care plan.
Right. Yep.
So that's done. We already went to your side to start this thing, but he didn't compromise, and I really respect it.
Yeah, Jay Carney yesterday.
The president is happy that cooler heads at least seem to be prevailing in the House, that there at least seems to be a recognition that default is not an option.
So we will see what happens from this, but it's going to be an epic fail on the part of John Boehner, I think.
I mean, there really are anarchists who want to drown our government in a bathtub, and, you know, it's good for them. It's good for the guys who finance their campaigns. They want to see this happen. They want Somalia here in our own borders, and right. I have not. The Republicans are so incompetent. And I keep having Rand to check Paul's, to make sure they're not Democrats.
Rand Paul's hair already an unregulated paradise. He is the Somalia of hairstyles.
There are warlords in that hair.
Right. Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour. More Fridays with Fugles thing on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, of the handful of women, she's the only one I have ever found tolerable.
Well, what about
Stephanie Miller?
The statement stands for itself.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang live in studio with us here. So, Chris, you say the breaking news, and we don't know what is being reported, is the Republicans have offered what now?
They offered a debt limit hike. And an end to shutdown and packaged with spending cuts.
Uh-huh.
That's all the story says. It doesn't say if anybody's accepted it. Doesn't say for how long.
But what spending cuts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To what and how deep?
And there's just one sentence in this story, so it is breaking news as we speak.
Yeah, but John, I agree with you. I think the president has been a rock. I hope that he stays that way on this. That I'm not. We are not using this as leverage. The default or the shutdown.
You know, the thing about Kris Jenner and Bruce Jenner separating, is that by doing that, by seceding from that union, now what she gets to do is go back to her old brand of I'm sorry. Last name of Kardashian.
Right.
I heard you say this morning how she regrets divorcing the late lawyer Robert.
Right. Robert.
This is all she is leaving him so she can change her last name to Kardashian for the dying gasps of their 15 minutes and try to squeeze a little more juice out of the brand.
Oh,
wow.
Boy. That's sad. It's always sad when a brand dies. So Harry Reid tweeted, Democrats believe a six-week delay of a catastrophic default isn't enough to give the economy the confidence it needs. And I agree with that, John, don't you? I mean, it's, as the president said, you can't govern like this. I mean, it's last time we got downgraded, we didn't have to default. It's just messing with it and then going, okay, we're going to do this again now.
Well, and so here's
and try to get something else from the president.
Exactly. Here's what you say to your right-wing coworkers today when they say, you know how many shutdowns there have been? You know how many times in the last 30 years you've been doing shutdowns? Let me tell you something, Skeeter. All of those shutdowns, every single government shutdown under Reagan and Bush lasted less than 3 days. Mm-hmm. And they were all about budgetary disputes, never once about having a tantrum over a law you don't like.
Right.
And that's why the glitch thing was so funny with the ACA website last week. These guys lost in the Congress. They lost with the Supreme Court. They lost with the American voting public in 2012. Yep. And a once great party of Lincoln is reduced to smearing software. They're the gang that couldn't smear straight, my friends. And, you know, just throw it back at them. All of those shutdowns were over budgetary disputes, lasted less than 72 hours. There's never been anything like this before, this petulance. It's like King Joffrey from Game of Thrones. It's disgusting. And just tell them, do you know how many times Ronald Reagan raised the debt ceiling?
11.
18.
18, you're right. Yep.
Yes.
Yep, 11 something else.
11's the time he raised taxes.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
John Fugelsang does pop quizzes at Sexy Liberal, and I've retained some of it. Well, some of it is floating away in Chardonnay.
You know what? Facts can help you when you need facts.
That's right. Billy in Florida, you're on with John. Hi, Billy.
Hi there. Mama,
yes.
You know, the one thing that any Troll the Gone user needs to remember is 1.4 million. That is how many more people voted for Democrats in the House of Representatives than they did for Republicans in the 2012 election. And that should end the argument right there.
Yep.
And you think the Republicans would learn. You think they'd start fighting for affordable health care. You think they'd start fighting to end no-fault evictions and to have protection from foreclosure. You think that they would take on the side of the working class, and they just don't do it.
Well, and we were saying that their worst nightmare is already coming true in that the polling, you know, albeit slightly or slowly, but it's showing people are already starting to like Obamacare better because of the exchanges being open. They're seeing what it is. Right. I know just from the letters I'm getting from real people going, oh, my God. I had pre-existing, or, you know, my kid hit the lifetime cap, or, and I have insurance now. And the rates some people are telling me they're getting, I mean, you know, this is the problem. The reality of Obamacare is starting to sink in.
And that's what people will talk about a year from now. No one's going to remember problems of the website 1 year from now when the midterms come around.
Right. Bruce in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Bruce.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Ever since the Obamacare concept came about, I've had this.
It's not a concept; it's a law.
Well, I mean, from the very beginning, when it all first started,
under the Heritage Foundation.
I'm sorry?
When it began as a Republican idea?
From the Heritage Foundation.
Well, that's fine. I'm trying to practically put it into practice in real life.
Okay.
And I haven't been able to figure this out yet. If you have a person who cannot afford health insurance in the old system, and now with the subsidies, they get insurance, but it's nothing out of pocket or very little out of pocket, so they can't afford the monthly premiums. What happens down the road when I take my insurance card into the hospital, generate a, say, a $5,000 hospital bill, and I'm now on the hook for 20 to 40% of that bill? But yet I can't afford my monthly premiums, and that's being subsidized for me. Who pays the copay piece of that in practice?
I'm unclear what you're talking about.
Well, it depends on what kind of...
People that have not had insurance now, we're all paying for.
Right.
Because they end up going to the emergency room for primary care.
And it also depends on what kind of insurance you purchase from the exchanges.
Well, there is no 100% coverage, is there?
Not yet.
That's what I'm driving at. It feels to me like we're going to end up with the same system we had. Is my problem.
Well, you sound as anxious for Medicare for All as all the rest of us are.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes sense.
Right. Single payer only.
Yeah. You know, we're like in this bizarro world where now you have the Democrats saying, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and buy some damn insurance and stop making taxpayers in local counties pay for you. And the Republicans saying, no, don't do that. Let's keep it how it is. And when you have to go to the ER, make other people pay for you. I mean, both parties have become the stereotype of the other party. And the Democrats are the ones being responsible. The Republicans are the ones saying, don't do anything, let the taxpayers pay for it, the same way they're paying for the low wages at Walmart. When half of a Walmart staff is on food stamps, you get to pay for those low prices twice.
Yeah. You were you said something, John, about they're like the Confederates. The thing I love is you can't tell who's Republican or Democrat anymore. I'm reading something, at least in Salon, by an ex-GOP insider who blames neo-Confederate insurrectionists for the shutdown.
Exactly.
His own party. I mean, this is the guy who was worked as a Republican congressional staffer until 2011. And he wrote the party is over, how Republicans went crazy. He said, so in the lead up to the shutdown, the way it's played out so far, what, if anything, has surprised you? He said nothing. Of course, the media is kind of covering it like the Michigan State-Ohio game and love anything with a countdown clock or supposed suspense and all this other crap. But this is not happening according to circumstances or happenstance. This is something the GOP wanted. And everybody's been talking about this New York Times piece. This is exactly what they planned.
This is what they planned for a year and talked about for ages.
Yeah.
The media is the real bad guy. You know, the media talking about this GOP shutdown that the GOP promised and the GOP brought about, and the media's here to tell us how both parties are really to blame.
And he said the difference between what Obama and the Republicans are doing is like the difference between stomach upset and galloping Ebola. So these people are essentially neo-Confederate insurrectionists. They are in a substantive rebellion against the orderly government of the country. And that's why I said the president has to stand for him, not just for his law, but for government as we know it, as he even said, as precedent for even if there's a Republican president. Once you cross this, you can't go back.
Yeah.
Then always the shutting the government down or a debt ceiling is going to be a legitimate political tactic.
Ideology is deeper than party affiliation. So the hardcore right-wingers who favored secession from the union are the ones now trying to destroy the government of that union,
right,
140 years later. If you fly a Confederate flag, or if your state flies a Confederate flag, you've embraced a symbol for quitting America to start your own country,
yep,
for human bondage, keeping people as pets, and you pretty much said, hey, this atop South Carolina State House is our way of saying we don't care about the feelings of black folks.
The ex-GOP insider gets good with the Thanksgiving coming up. He went on to say, it's something very common in human beings. We all try to mollify or appease the crazy uncle at Thanksgiving dinner. You know, don't make a scene. Well, I noticed in the last few years of my service on the Hill, a number of Democrats seem to be afraid of Republicans. And Obama wastes his first term trying to mollify them. I think he's finally stumbled upon a strategy that's better, simply not give them what they demand, because this is a deliberate strategy to hold the government hostage. This is from a former, an ex-GOP insider.
And mollify is a very polite term. There were a lot of us that felt, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying it, but there are a lot of us that felt in the first term that Obama's strategy was mine in junior high, when I thought, if I give the bully my lunch money, then he'll like me.
Then he won't throw gum in your hair and call
you. Exactly. And it doesn't work. Obama tried to be nice, and they didn't respect that. You can't negotiate.
Yeah.
You can just bring your case to the American people and let these bigots die off.
I have sympathy for the president, because even I could not have imagined how truly awful and nihilistic these Republicans were going to be. But I think you're right. It's like
20 years worse than
Clinton.
It
created the precedent that, okay, he'll blink, he'll cave, he'll, you know.
Never forget how awful they were under Bill Clinton, how the accusations, impeaching him for his private life. It wasn't over lying under oath. If they cared about lying under oath, Oliver North wouldn't have a gig at Fox News.
Yeah.
You know, the things they said about the First Lady and accusing the president of murder under Clinton. Then just take that and then go 20 years of devolution.
Yeah.
And the anti-Darwin.
And he made the point that we've been making, ironically, this being Bob Dole's plan, and as you said, the Heritage Foundation's plan, what ended the shutdown last time he was saying, is he said Bob Dole simply, cooler heads like Bob Dole simply prevailed. I recall him saying in the well of the Senate, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that shut down Gingrich and his band of crazies at that
Bob
time.
Bob Dole says enough is enough.
Right.
Bob Dole says it. Bob Dole means it.
Bob Dole says Bob Dole's tired of this.
Bob
all you got
to
know.
Take it to the bank.
You know, we're in a land where Bob Dole's the moderate now.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, he said as much, that there'd be no place for him in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so someone asked this how much has the Republican Party changed since then? In the 80s, there was a willingness to negotiate, to compromise. The Beirut bombing killed 246 Marines. It revealed a terrible lack of cooperation between the individual services. And Barry Goldwater and Bill Nichols, his Democratic counterpart in the House Armed Services Committee, got together and came up with the Joint Chiefs Reform Act. There was no partisanship about this. It was, how do we fix this problem? And it's what I've said a thousand times about, this is not my dad and Goldwater's party. They would not recognize it. Bob Dole obviously doesn't, and he's still here to say it.
Yeah, it's not, and they should be. I mean, there's so many, you know, the Republicans should have been the ones leading the fight for universal health care. They should have been fighting for the public option. If you're patriotic, 45,000 Americans die every year due to lack of health care. We can't spend $1 trillion on health care to save American lives, but we can spend $2 trillion on a defense budget to save American lives.
He finishes by saying there is a strain in the American society that sees a kind of reactionary order to the chaos they see that supports charlatans like Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
He
cares about you, Republicans.
I love this. He said that. He said, I would. This is the Republican insider. He said, I would take John Boehner drunk over Cruz sober.
Wow.
Yeah, he said, and this is what he was saying, what's the most likely ending? You know, and he's saying that, because he was talking about the 14th Amendment, that Obama, and I think that also is what got Republicans turned around, not just the polling, that more and more people, even Republicans, were saying he may have to use the 14th Amendment. We cannot default.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's what Bill Clinton thinks.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Bill Clinton has publicly disagreed with the president on that.
Yeah. 46 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments. Fridays with Hugo Holla. Singh. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Is that Gaga?
Okay.
Jerry Lewis.
51 minutes after the hour. Listen, when you start the day with John, who was it? Dan, John Ford.
England Dan and John Ford Coley.
Right, right. I'm not talking about the movie again. We think that he meant like a sexual thing he kept asking her to do. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, I am.
Just saying. Other girls do it. Okay, 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number. Derek in L.A., you're on with John. Hello, Derek.
Hello. Stephanie, John, Mooks, do they realize, these Tea Party people, do they realize that the Koch brothers are not going to bail them out of anything if they give you their health insurance, get dropped, denied, or get into an accident? What are the Koch brothers going to do for them?
They don't know who the Koch brothers are.
Yeah.
The words Koch and brothers don't get uttered on Fox News. It's like they have the words hip and hop.
honestly, the Koch brothers, they were the anti-John, they were the anti-Civil Rights Party. They were the John Birchers.
Yeah.
Their father, Frederick Koch, founded the John Birchers. Really, it's really the Ku Klux Klan. They're really Ron, and Rand Paul of the Ku Klux Klan at Brooks Brothers Soup.
Testify,
my friend.
You're exactly right.
In other hip-hop news.
Yeah, but George Soros is a problem. You know, yeah, and that's right. The thing. I love the George Soros complaint. We hear George Soros is a foreign-born billionaire using his money to influence the political agenda, say fans of Rupert Murdoch's Fox News.
Yeah.
You idiots!
Our friend Frank Bruni wrote a great piece in the Times, Nazis lynching in Obamacare. This has been a fertile ground for inappropriate analogies, has it not, John?
Yeah, I love comparing Obama to Nazis. That's terrific,
yeah.
Too.
Sure.
Comparing a non-right-wing Obama to right-wing Hitler by right-wing Americans.
Right. Well, because Jesse Owens didn't want to shake Hitler's hand because he didn't consider him a human being.
Yeah, and you know what? Stop drawing Hitler's mustache on Obama. Somewhere in hell, Hitler's furious at you teabaggers for putting his mustache on a black dude.
Right.
And he'll
exactly.
Tell you when he sees you.
Yeah. Frank writes, Obamacare has proved to be not just ideologically divisive, but linguistically fertile. There's seemingly no event or passage in American history to which it cannot be compared. The terrorist attacks of 9/11, check. Mike Pence, Indiana's Republican wackadoodle. He summoned the day's horror to characterize the Supreme Court ruling that upheld the Affordable Care Act. Slavery, check. Ken Cuccinelli, the cooch, described opposition to Obamacare in terms of stands against fugitive slave laws. The hyperbole and hysteria make any constructive debate impossible, and they insult the past, robbing important events of specific meaning and individual detail they deserve.
Uh-huh.
And then the recurring gate mania, where they were saying everything is a gate, and Watergate was a real gate.
Yes, lack of imagination gate.
Yes. For President Obama, Benghazi was supposed to be his Watergate, and so was the IRS.
And now it's Hillary's.
Right. They blur and fade, which is not to say they didn't matter. It's just to say that when everything is supposedly like everything else, nothing's distinctive. It's all one big mush. And for that reason, among others, we should watch our words. They have consequences. As irresponsible and detestable as the recent actions of the most conservative wing in the House Republicans has been, we'd be better off without figurative talk of hostage-taking and guns to heads or people comparing them to suicide bombers.
Yes, Stephanie.
Stop that. Can I just say people who...
I should blow it out my ass, Dip.
People who compare
as someone wrote to me.
People who compare people to Nazis are worse than Hitler.
Right?
It's really true.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He did make a good point.
And
Godwin's
law is worse than Hitler, too.
He said, you know what's just like Germany in the 1930s? Germany in the 1930s. That's
right.
Done. See.
Just like Germany in the 1930s. You mean under the liberal Weimar Republic that had gun control? No! Under the right-wing Nazis that loosened gun control laws.
Mm-hmm.
I was speaking figuratively and politically.
Mm. You know,
okay.
Ideology is ideology.
But Sean Hannity said, Stephanie Miller says that Republicans want to blow up your children. Okay.
Yeah.
Michael in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Mooks.
Hello.
Wanted to talk about that guy from Texas who's having some problems understanding how this is going to work. If you get health insurance under Obamacare, if you qualify and you can just barely make if you can't make your premiums, that's what I think his premise was.
Right.
You're going to have a surgery. You're going to have a heart replaced or something like that. So you can't make the 20% or the 10% copay. I work in the medical coding business and the medical billing business. And essentially what happens is we kind of call you a turnip because you can't get blood out of a turnip. We can't we try and collect, ask you to call you a couple times, send you some letters, see if there's some other things you can do. But at the end of the day, if you can't pay, you can't pay.
It's not like with a car. You know, if you buy a car and then you turn out you don't pay, well...
Yeah, you can't repossess the heart.
I'm going to repossess your organ.
Yeah.
Transplanted.
Not yet.
John, you were saying they were going to have to finish the fight amongst themselves, but this is the kind of stuff going on. Liz Cheney.
Yes. Speaking
oh,
of
by the way, did you hear about the Dick Cheney roast where they're making a lot of jokes about waterboarding and torture and stuff?
Oh, Joe Lieberman, that gay patriot, was making jokes about torture.
Somebody very inappropriately tweeted me and said the only real roast of Dick Cheney won't be when he's in hell.
Yeah, but exactly. I gave Dick Cheney a birthday present. I gave him a one-way ticket to The Hague.
Yeah.
This is the headline. Liz Cheney attacked for not being anti-gay enough, even though she's not pro-gay marriage.
Even though she thinks her sister's marriage should be invalidated.
Right.
She doesn't hate gays enough.
Right, exactly. Isn't that nice? That's the kind of family values.
Oh, yeah.
She said, I'm strongly pro-life, but I'm not pro-gay marriage, she said in 2013. And yes, her sister is, in fact,
a homosexual.
Gay married. Right.
Gay married, yeah.
Right.
You don't even know what these people mean anyway. Dick Cheney had a fundraiser in his home last year for the presidential candidate who wanted to invalidate his own daughter's marriage.
Yep. I know.
And
a new ad from the conservative group American Principles Fund, the principles being hating gays, I guess, is hitting Wyoming Republican Senate candidate Liz Cheney for supporting rights for gay couples, even though she said she's not pro-gay marriage. Yikes. Yikes. Let us know how all that goes amongst all y'alls over there.
Are they hating on her because she's related to a gay?
She's suspected of being a rhino for that reason. God. See, the fact is that people who hate minorities really can't stand the fact that they're becoming one.
Yeah.
True.
Exactly. All right, kids, next week, we don't know what day. We had a little box office snafu today. Next week will be the big sexy liberal announcement, which includes the lovely and talented sexy liberal John Fugelsang. Just sexy liberal Hal Sparks.
I'll be joining you from somewhere on the road for that. This is six Fridays in a row I've joined you from a different state.
I know. I believe you clearly are running from the law, and we support you in that. We will not tell them where you are.
Shirking my parental duties.
I love you, John Fugelsang.
Thank you, Steph. I love you all. So I'll see you back with you guys.
See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.